Now, let me introduce our debaters. They've met before, of course. In fact, this is a rematch of the final of the March 2022 edition. Our first debater was the runner-up in that final. And now, she's here for payback or thunderback. As she said, the last time we saw her during the quarterfinals, she qualified as a runner-up from Group A with one win. Deborah Pamzat, welcome to the Tournament of Champions semifinals.
Thank you, ma'am.
Good to see you. And then Lagos, our second debater, needs no introduction, but we're going to give her one anyway. Our second debater was, of course, the champion in March 2022. Here at the TOC, she qualified as runner-up from Group B. Ruth Okorocha, good to see you. Welcome to the semifinals.
Thank you,
Lagos, let me remind you that we're streaming live on Facebook, Nigeria Info 99.3. That's Facebook. YouTube, Nigeria Info FM. Interesting that they're both runners-up from their different groups. However, one of them was a champion during their own tournament in March, and the other runner-up was a runner-up during that tournament as well. That's one of the things I love about I Beg to Differ. All the stories, you know, the stories are so beautiful. Like, you thug a thread and there's a story there. Love it. Now, people, let's take a look at those rules again. You know what they are. I've said it so many times to Lagos, and yet every time that a debate is ongoing, people are making up their own rules on Facebook for the judgment. So here the rules are again. I will give you a topic. One of you will be in support. One of you will oppose. You will each first get 3 minutes to present your positions. Then you will each get another 3 minutes in the rebuttal round to address the points your opponent made. And finally, you'll get another 3 minutes for closing arguments. The clock is the clock. It will not pause once it starts. Our panel of judges will score all three rounds based on number, quality, originality of unique points made. If you repeat a point, your score will not increase. Clarity of thought and eloquence of presentation, very important if you want to win. Number of opponents' points addressed. Now, Lagos, clarity of thought does not mean whether I can understand what this person is saying because they're speeding too fast when they're talking. Clarity of thought means, did this debater understand the topic? Is this debater able to communicate that they understood the topic? That's what clarity of thought means. The number of opponents' points addressed during rebuttals, very important. The strength of your rebuttal of each point determines who wins or who goes home. And yes, this is the knockout rounds. So if your scores are tied, there will be a tiebreaker round because we need to know who will go home and who will face Ramadan on Monday at 3 p.m. Now, you switch sides. You'll have 5 minutes to debate in favor of your opponent's position. You'll be scored for all new points you make, which were missed by your opponent, and for new rebuttals to the points you made earlier. Very important to remember the rules for the tiebreaker round. You both know your topic. Insurance is a viable product for developing countries. This is a topic that was given to us by our associate sponsor, Sunu Assurances. And they are, of course, an insurance organization. And they said to us, would love for these children to debate about insurance. And so our topic today is, courtesy of Sunu Assurances, insurance is a viable product for developing countries. Now let's decide who supports and who opposes. I've got a coin to decide this. Deborah, you are emerging from quarterfinal four, so you're going to choose either heads or tails. If the coin lands on the one you choose, you will support the motion. If it lands on the other side, then you will oppose the motion. So take a look. It's an actual head and it's an actual tail. Take a look. Head and tail. Now call it, Deborah.
Heads.
heads it is. All right, so Deborah Pamzat, insurance is a viable product for developing countries. Ruth Okorocha will say insurance is not a viable product for developing countries. We'll take a break. Lagos, when we come back from this break, it will be time for round one, the presentation round. I am Sandra Ezekwesili, S. Ezekwesili on social media, all social media platforms, Sandra Ezekwesili. I'm your moderator. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. And here we are, a rematch of the final from March 2022. Deborah Pamzat in the opening round telling us that insurance is a viable product for developing countries. Your time starts now.
Insurance is an arrangement a company or state undertakes to provide the guarantee of compensation for specified loss, damage, illness or death in return for a payment of specified premium. Similarly, developing countries are nations with low living standards, underdeveloped industrial base and low human development index. Examples are Togo, Ghana, Nigeria, among many others. Good evening, the moderator, distinguished panel of judges, accurate timekeeper, co-debater and the ever-attentive audience. I'm Deborah Pamzat. Supporting the proposition, insurance is a viable product for developing countries to the following point. Firstly, insurance drives industrialization. Industrialization is a key component of a nation's economy because it fosters investment and innovation. These are the super recipe for economic growth. Second, it prevents against the loss of jobs. When businesses are insured, continuity is guaranteed. This is because employees tend to not lose their job in the face of unforeseen circumstances that may suddenly rise. Thirdly, insurance is a risk management mechanism primarily used to prevent business shutdowns. As we all know, in developing countries, investors still have to cope with financial uncertainty, characteristic of the unstable economic nature of developing countries. Again, insurance helps to finance healthcare in developing countries. Let's take, for example, Ghana. The introduction of the National Health Insurance Scheme, NHIS, as an alternative to finance healthcare in developing countries, has enhanced the achievement of universal health coverage for the citizen, thereby easing the financial burden on the entire populace, especially for the most vulnerable and poor. Also, insurance provides pool of funds made available through premium paid by the insured to the insurance companies as temporary loans for public use, especially by the government to fund critical infrastructure. On my sixth point, guarantees confidence in business partnerships. This is because insured businesses easily attract partners nationally and internationally, thereby skyrocketing the rate of foreign investors into the country. Moreover, insurance is a definite financial guarantee in case of the sudden death of a breadwinner who is on life assurance, as seen in the case of Walter the protagonist in the Lauren Hansberry's novel, A Raisin in the Sun. The family members are able to fall back on his insurance payout of $10,000, thus avoiding the looming abject poverty. Furthermore, it ensures sustainability of educational career. This is with regard to the child of a child who is the next of kin to an insured. Having reached a certain age, the child is able to assess the huge sum of money that can be able to fund his education. Consequently, a direct positive impact of human capital development becomes obvious. Insurance is surely viable. Additionally, insurance fast-tracks accessibility to bank loans in developing countries. This is because businesses that are insured have greater chances of accessing bank loans, since banks prefer giving loans to insured businesses than businesses that are not insured. Finally, insurance attracts workers to industries that are susceptible to life-threatening situations and risk. The existence of a group insurance policy for employees is a consolatory guarantee that in the case of any mishap, the employees and their dependents are always protected. Also, insurance companies help to curb the extravagant spending of an individual. This is because it is practically impossible for an individual to spend money anyhow under insurance. Additionally, insurance companies protect against liabilities. These days, businesses tend to go through numerous problems. Insurance companies help to cover and protect companies from many lawsuits. With this cogent point of mine, I believe I've been able to convince you all that insurance is a viable product.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Deborah Pamzat. Let me remind you, Lagos, we're streaming live on Facebook. Facebook is Nigeria Info 99.3. And of course, YouTube, Nigeria Info FM. Now, during rebuttal rounds, debaters, you can raise your paper and look at the points while you are addressing them. That way, you don't move away from the mic so that we can all keep hearing you. Now, we'll move over to you, Ruth Okorocha, for round one.
Good afternoon, moderator, adjudicators, my opponent, attentive listeners and viewers. I'm Ruth Okorocha, negating the resolution, insurance is a viable product for developing countries. In developed economies, insurance is good for them because they already have a stable economy. Unlike developing economies, where their economies are struggling, insuring a developing economy is like taking a risk in itself. There's a reason why only 3% of Africans and 0.5% of Africa's giant population have insurance. Because most people are living below $1 per day. They don't have enough money for clothing. They don't have any more money for shelter. What should they be insuring their tomorrow? One of the problems with developing countries is that they have problems in implementing policies. Most times, they lack facilities to implement adequate policies that will favor businesses like insurance. Take, for example, the Takaful policy in Saudi Arabia. Despite wastage of resources, the penetration rate of insurance in Saudi Arabia remains one of the lowest in the world at 1.7% of their GDP. If you go to developed economies, there's a kind of mindset that exists there that is shaped around adequate education, enlightenment, and literacy. But in developing economies, people see insurance as planning for bad things to happen in the future. Take Nigeria, for example. If you go to each, people with money, they'll prefer to spend it on getting an Obuagu title, something that they know that when they die, it places a burden on people that they are leaving behind because they cannot be buried without a befitting burial, rather than getting a life assurance policy to ensure that when they die, it relieves the burden of those that they are leaving behind. And additionally, is that insurance and small markets do not go hand in hand. There's a reason why insurance works very well in developed economies. It's because they have large markets enough to sustain this. But developing economies do not have this kind of market. They need first to develop their markets and economy, then they can facilitate insurance next. If you look back to the history of insurance in cities like Babylon back then, Greece and Britain, you see that insurance was made for already developed economies and not struggling economies. Insurance is the culture of developed economies. If you say that insurance is a viable product for developing economies, it means that it increases unreliability, and this means there will be more fraudulent activities. And this, when people get defrauded, they'll run to the government, and the government cannot keep quiet. They have to set up panels that will take the complaints of those people and then put this into implementation and respond to them. And this attracts administrative costs, money that could have been diverted into other areas to facilitate development. Take America, for example. It has close to 6,000 insurance companies, and this in itself is self-regulatory because there's competition, and competition ensures efficiency. Compare this to India, a developing economy with close to 1 billion people, and they have only 57 insurance companies. You cannot compare the efficiency level in these two places to each other. And where the efficiency cannot be ensured, then it is not viable. Fraud in insurance activities is very, very predominant. You cannot avoid this. But with developed economies, you see that they are able to tackle this. They have the facilities to take care of these fraudulent activities. Even America, while it was not as developed as it was, there were issues with their insurance policies. Despite policies that they made to tackle this, there are still people that will set up insurance without having capital to pay for the claims or try to cause monopoly. And despite policies, they could not tackle this until they became fully developed. Lastly, is that in developing countries have lost close to $1 trillion already to fraudulent activities. They don't have facilities to take care of this. Take, for example, the car insurance. You see people in developing countries where they'll probably cause an accident in order to claim insurance. And this can be avoided by simple technology of dashcam, but things like this are not readily available in developing countries. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ruth Okorocha, and well done. And right on time. Lagos will take a break. When we come back, it'll be time for round two rebuttals. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili, and you're listening to the semi-finals of the Tournament of Champions. If you are new to this, I have so much to catch you up on, but let's catch up after the debates today, shall we? It's now time for round two, the rebuttals round. Ruth is the opposer today, and so your 3 minutes for rebuttals start now.
Thank you very much. In your first point, you mentioned that insurance drives industrialization. But how does this affect when there are not enough policies in place for these insurance mass markets to grow? How does it drive industrialization? Because they need first to grow, then they're able to pay back by driving industrialization. And this is not possible in developing economies. And you also say that it prevents the loss of jobs. First of all, you should not put the cart before the horse. First of all, you need to create jobs. Then you can then talk about losing the jobs or not. And this is the problem of developed economies and not developing countries. You said that insurance is a risk management facility. The other way is to manage risk. The government could give out palliative. They could give out relief material. They could give out post-disorder public aid. Insurance is not viable enough for these developing economies. Insurance helps to finance healthcare services. Excuse me, the healthcare services in developing countries are so poor. So who is financing? How many people even have access to this? How many people have knowledge that there is these healthcare facilities, not to talk of helping to finance it or protect them against event of health or healthcare disorder. You also did say that it helps to generate funds, but look at the low participation. I give an example. In Africa, for example, Africa is like the second largest continent in the world, and only 3% have insurance. So how does this help to generate funds? How many people are putting their money into the insurance market? The insurance penetration rate in Nigeria is just 0.5%, so they are not generating any capital from anywhere. So how are they generating funds? And you also mentioned that it guarantees confidence in partnership. When there are fraudulent activities involved, there's instability everywhere. How does it guarantee fraud and confidence? It does not. Insurance is a definite insurance gala. For example, you said assurance that when they lose a family member and so on. Yes, I agree with you, but this is only in developed economies and not developing countries. I gave an example with what happened in Nigeria, where people they don't even care. They say that's planning for bad things for the future. You need to first of all increase the literacy level in developing countries, and this is when they become developed. Then you talk about having assurance policies and so on. You said sustainability of educational career. First of all, how many schools are in developing countries? How many people go to school in developing countries? These things that you mentioned are just things for the developed economies and not economies that are still coming up. They need to be developed first, need to get a very good educational facility. Then you can talk about sustaining it or insuring it or whatever. And then you also mentioned that bank loans. What about the fraudulent insurance companies where people lose their money? Do you know how many court cases are set today because of fight against insurance companies? And there's nothing they can do about it because the economy is not able to sustain them, and all they can do is fold up and people's money just go like that. And you mentioned that insurance attracts workers to work in a company. The unemployment rate is very high. How many companies are looking for workers to work for them? Not to talk of placing insurance in their portfolio to attract these workers to them. You say insurance helps to curb the extravagant spending of a person. If a person wants to spend money extravagantly, having an insurance policy is not going to stop them because it's not compulsory. It's my choice. If I have money, I don't want to insure anything. It's my choice. The government does not make it compulsory. I don't have any loss in not doing that. Me spending extravagantly is my personal business and does not have anything to do with the economy of my country. And lastly, you mentioned that it protects against its liabilities. Without adequate infrastructure, yes, it does protect against liabilities. I agree with you. But without adequate infrastructure, the best development plans are rendered very difficult to implement. Take, for example, in Argentina, where in the 1950s, where they had hyperinflation. In their motor insurance, you see that the car insurance policies, because of the kind of inflation that was going there, the value estimate a month for a month cannot be used the next month. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And well done, Ruth Okorocha. Let me remind you, Lagos, we're streaming live. Facebook, Nigeria Info 99.3. YouTube, Nigeria Info FM. Her opponent is Deborah Pamzat. You have 3 minutes for rebuttals.
Thank you very much. I'm here to rebuttal some of my opening point. Your first point, you talked about poverty and that most people living in developing countries are in poverty. You see, insurance is actually targeted at the most vulnerable and poor people. This is why we have varieties of insurance policies. It depends on your pocket. If you're financially buoyant, you go for high policies. If you're not financially buoyant, you go for low policies. We have varieties of insurance policies for all and sundry. You talked about developing countries lacking facilities. We don't lack facilities. We have the technological know-how. We have the technological capability. We have the expertise to actually foster insurance in our countries. You talked about lack of education in developing countries. You see, this is why insurance companies in developing countries organize enlightenment campaigns, symposiums, awareness programs, educating people on the benefits of insurance, and it has been working for us at a very great deal. You talked about insurance. You said insurance is made for only developed economies. Who said this? Insurance is made for all and sundry. This is why we have insurance companies in Nigeria. Credible insurance companies like Suno Assurances, our associate sponsors. We have Prestige Assurances, Zenith Assurances, Leadway Assurances, Notaka Full Assurances, a lot more to mention. You talked about insurance creating more room for criminalities. We have organizations and machineries in place to curb these situations. Let's take Nigeria for example. We have the CBN and the EFCC to curb the cases of criminalities. So it does not create more room for criminality because we already have machineries in place to curb it. You talked about there being fraud in insurance companies in developing countries. You see, this is why we advise that before you buy an insurance policy, come along with your legal advisor, come along with your lawyer. And also, we have bureaucratic procedures that would ensure that fraudulent activities are curbed. And we also have what we call authentication of originality. Why would you patronize an insurance company that you've not authentified if the country is you? Let's take like, for example, Laptop Bank comes to me and tell me that I should bank with them, I won't do that. I will have to authenticate and verify if Laptop Bank is actually true before I can insure with them. You talked about developing countries losing money due to fraudulent agencies. This is still linked to your sixth point. This is why I said you have to authenticate the originality of your insurance companies. And we also have bureaucratic procedures put in place to actually curb these situations. Then you talked about insurance not contributing to the GDP of developing countries. Who said this? The insurance industry and sector in Nigeria is ranked the 62nd best insurance industry in the worldwide world out of over 192 countries. So you can't tell me insurance don't contribute to our GDP. Insurance contributes to our GDP. So having rebutted all your points, I still maintain my stance that insurance is a viable product in developing countries. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Deborah Pamzat. Well done. Great management of time from both of you. Lagos, let me remind you, we're streaming live. Nigeria Info 99.3. That's on Facebook, YouTube, Nigeria Info FM. Again, I will remind you what the judges are scoring for. Number, quality. Do not look over quality. So a person can have a number of points lined up, but those points do not meet the next criteria, which is quality. So number, quality and originality of unique points made. Clarity of thought and eloquence of presentation. Number of opponents' points addressed. The strength of the rebuttal of each point. Now, let me also let you know that if a debater is debating and listing points and those points are inaccurate or they do not quite hit the nail on the head, they don't get scores for that point. I'm reminding you of all of this. We've explained these things over and over and over just to let you know how the judges are scoring. Number, quality and originality of unique points made. Clarity of thought and eloquence of presentation, number of opponents' points addressed, the strength of rebuttal of each point. I'm Sandra Esquesley, your moderator. We'll take a break. When we come back, let's go to closing round. It's now time for the closing round. This time we'll start with the motion supporter, Deborah Pamzat. Your final 3 minutes to win or go home starts now.
I'm back, as promised, to make more points and rebuttal my opponent point. In addition to the point earlier stated, insurance encourages international trade. Previously, business organizations shy away from international trade because of the high risk involved, like loss in transit, shipwrecks, loss of cargo carriers, among many others. But now, with the aid of insurance, many business organizations confidently engage international trade. Panel of judges, you'll agree with me that international trade is not just an integral part of national development, it's also the backbone of a country's economy. And with the aforementioned role of insurance, its viability is undisputable. Also, insurance is the hope of an individual living in an insecure society. This is because we all know that developing countries are bedeviled with security challenges, hence, insurance is our life cover. Also, insurance reduces maternal mortality rate. When families in a given developing country embraces the health insurance policies, it helps to prevent avoidable deaths as a result of ready available fund to attend to critical health issues, especially during childbirth. In conclusion, insurance provides a mode of investment. This is because the habit of saving money is developed by paying premium. The amount of policy is paid to the insured or its beneficiary, and in the case of a fixed time policy, due sum of money is paid to the insured or beneficiary after the maturity of the policy. Now, going back to rebutting some of your points, during your rebuttal round, in an attempt to rebut one of my points, you said, You asked me a question. You said, how does it help to generate funds? You said, the thing about insurance companies is that it's more of an investment. People go there to invest money. They loan the money to stakeholders, government agencies. When the stakeholders and government agencies want to pay them back, they pay them back with interest. They split this interest, give you your percentage and take percentage. So that's how they help to generate funds and also boost the GDP of countries. You said the unemployment rate is very high in developing countries and insurance don't ensure employment. Insurance produces room for employment. I mean, people who are working in insurance companies, they are employed. Insurance astronomically increases the rate of employment in developing countries, and it also attracts workers to industries that are susceptible to life-threatening situations and risks because of the provision of group insurance policies and compensation fund for their employees. You said insurance cannot curb a person's spending habits, because when you have your money, you decide what you want to use your money to do. Let's take an example at vehicle insurance, educational insurance, and business insurance. When you apply, when you buy a policy in vehicle insurance and you want to retrieve your money back, before you can claim your indemnity, you have to provide proof that, okay, your vehicle was actually, your vehicle was actually damaged. Even educational insurance, when you buy an educational insurance policy for your child, the insurance policies maintain and monitor the educational status of that child. Even in business insurance too, when a business gets capsized, before you can claim your indemnity from insurance companies, they tend to verify and investigate if something actually happened to your business before you can claim your money. Then you said there are no healthcare facilities in developing countries. See, this is why insurance provides National Healthcare Insurance Scheme, NHIS. And also, when you are an insured in an insurance company, they cover the payment for your treatment and also surgeries. So insurance companies has boosted the healthcare policies in all developing countries. You said in developed economies, only countries in developed economies have efficient life insurance. No, this is also applicable. Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah Pamzat, and well done. What a closing. Lagos, we're streaming live. Facebook, Nigeria Info 99.3. YouTube, Nigeria Info FM. And of course, your reactions are all seen and are all noted. Ruth Okorocha, you've got 3 minutes to win or go home. It starts.
Thank you very much. I'll start by listening out points, then I'll come back to my opponents. One thing about developing countries is that they are at the mercy of international organizations and developed countries. Most times, international organizations serve as an obstruction to them developing at their own pace, and insurance cannot be viable for an economy if they are not developing at their own pace. Take Nigeria, for example. Under pressure from the World Bank, it drifted to the liberalization of the insurance market, and today that led to instability. Speaking of instability, insurance and an instable economy and political system does not go hand in hand. An insurance market would only thrive and is only suitable for an economy that is stable, because this creates horizons between potential buyers and suppliers of these products. Plus, if we have insurance in our country, we also need international buyers. We need people from the international countries to come and patronize us. But when the country is not stable, who would want to come and insure in that kind of a country? And that thing is that developing countries have been unable to ensure that their citizens have trust in the financial systems. And this would only be possible when the citizens see that the economy is developed enough. You see, an American will have more trust in their financial system that the Nigerian would have in their own financial system because of the development differences of these countries. And that thing is that diversification insurance will only thrive in a market with diversification benefits derived from risk pooling that disseminates appropriate standard of consumer protection and services. Also, is that it's only thrive in a market that accelerates development through the expansion of high-value, high-quality distribution networks. Then, come back to you and the points that you make. You say that insurance is targeted at poor people. Well, do you know how poor they are? I mean, someone that's even below $1 a day, what do they want to insure? How much do they have? Some people don't even have houses. Most people in developed countries don't have houses. They don't have shelter. They don't have clothing. So how much do they have, and what of their purpose of the properties would they want to insure? You say that they have the technological know-how. Now, take, for example, in developing countries where, I mentioned before I was cut off, where you see that they have this kind of insurance fraud where people would purposely create an accident and then claim insurance for it. If there is something like dash cam on the cars of those people, things like that would not happen. But this technology is not readily available. Such a cheap technology is not readily available in developing countries. And you also say that enlightenment. Well, you give example of insurance companies. Well, sorry for one. I've never heard of those companies before. And if you go on the street, you see many people have never heard of it. So the enlightenment, where is it going to? I've not seen it at all. And then you mentioned that in organization, they should come with legal advisors. Then let me go back to your first point. You say they are made for vulnerable people. How can someone that is vulnerable, poor, be able to afford a legal advisor? And you know that our legal system is very, very poor and are unable to fund and carry this market and carry these complaints that people bring to them. And then you also mentioned that it does contribute to GDP, but that is when in an economy that is already developed, then it helps as a backbone to boost an economy that is developed already. And then you mentioned that insurance encourages international trade and so on. If the insurance is not stable, then the international trade of that country is not also stable. And then you said it covers insecurity and so on. Take Rwanda, for example, where they usually have bandit attack on the road. Now, let's say lots of people have motor car insurance, and every now and then they're coming to the insurance companies to come and collect their money. I need this for that. I need insurance for my car that got stolen, or this or that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And well done, Ruth Okorocha. What a closing. And thank you to Suno Assurances for that topic. Suno Assurances. Gave the debaters the topic today. Insurance is a viable product for developing countries. Now again, Lagos, our topics are not about what you agree with, who you think is right, who you think is wrong. These topics are to show us what the debaters can debate, what points they can raise to support whatever position they are made to debate. And that's why you have people who will say human beings are inherently evil or human beings are inherently good, and they give you points to support that human beings are inherently evil or human beings are inherently good. That's what debate is about. Or like one of the topics that Ruth Okorocha and Deborah Pamzat debated during the final in March 2022, human beings have free will. I loved that topic so much. One of my favorite topics from I Beg to Differ, you know. So it's not about what you agree with or what you disagree with or who you think is right or who you think is wrong. It's about who can defend the points they are putting on the table for a particular topic. We'll take a break. When we come back, we will see who has done enough to walk away with today's win and face Ramadan on Monday at 3 p.m. Again, number, quality, originality of unique points made, clarity of thought and eloquence of presentation, number of opponents' points addressed, the strength of your rebuttal of each point. We'll take that break. We'll be right back. All right, Lagos. Let's take a look at the results now. Again, you can watch live Facebook, Nigeria Info 99.3, YouTube, Nigeria Info FM. In the presentation round, Deborah Pamzat scores 86. Ruth Okorocha scores 90. For presentation style, Deborah and Ruth tie at 33. In the rebuttal round, Deborah Pamzat scores 62. Ruth Okorocha scores 78. For rebuttal style, Deborah Pamzat scores 31. Ruth Okorocha scores 35. In the closing round, Deborah Pamzat scores 69. Ruth Okorocha scores 89. For closing style, Deborah and Ruth tie at 30. And so with 355 to 311, Ruth Okorocha wins and joins Ramadan next week, Monday at 3 p.m. Congratulations to you and well done, Ruth. Great work. I guess you held on to that crown and that title as champion from March 2022. The only champion still in the game. And thank you, Deborah Pamzat, for taking part. You did so well. You have proven that you are among the best of the best. Like I said to both of you before this debate started, our final four are some of the best debaters we've ever seen since I Beg to Differ started. It was an honor to meet you, Deborah Pamzat. I hope, what are you going to do now that you're done with secondary school and done with I Beg to Differ? What's next for you, Deborah? What's next?
I'm still in the debating game.
Oh, still in the debating game. Okay, I like that. Okay. Well, thank you so much. You're going to get your topic this evening, Ruth. And you're going to face Ramadan on Monday, 3 p.m. Monday, 3 p.m. Don't come late. 3 p.m., all right? Ladies, you can leave the studio now. Lagos, let's talk about what you just heard.